Born in 1984 South Africa, Trevor Noah entered the world as literal evidence of a crime. Under apartheid's brutal regime, his very existence, the child of a black Xhosa mother and white Swiss German father, was punishable by 5 years in prison. Apartheid wasn't merely segregation. It was a meticulously engineered system that divided people into rigid racial categories, black, white, Indian, and colored, mixed race. Trevor's mother, Patricia, a fiercely independent woman, had deliberately chosen to have a child with Robert, a Swiss expatriate, despite knowing the consequences. "This is my country. Why should I leave?" she would say when others suggested fleeing abroad. Living as a mixed-race child meant Trevor couldn't walk publicly with either parent. With his mother, he sometimes walked behind a colored woman who pretended to be his mother, while Patricia walked behind like a maid. During visits to Soweto, he was kept indoors to avoid police and informants. In a world meticulously designed to separate people, Trevor existed in the spaces between, neither fully belonging to his father's world nor his mother's. Yet this liminal existence would become his greatest strength, teaching him to navigate between worlds and adapt to any situation, skills that would later define his career and worldview. Language, even more than color, defined who you were to people. Growing up mixed race in apartheid South Africa made Trevor a natural chameleon. In Soweto, children would shout, "Indoda Yomlungu," the white man, some fleeing in fear, others touching him in curiosity. His mother made English his first language, seeing it as a path to opportunity. At home, they spoke Xhosa, while she mastered multiple languages, including German, Afrikaans, Zulu, and Soto. Trevor witnessed her using language as power, like when she deflated a suspicious shopkeeper by responding to his Afrikaans accusations in his own tongue. This linguistic adaptability became Trevor's shield. He once avoided a mugging by speaking Zulu, instantly changing his attacker's perception. At Sandringham High School, he moved between social groups, never fully belonging anywhere but welcomed everywhere, using humor and openness as currency, a strategy that would later define his comedy career. Patricia Noah faced hardship from birth. Rejected as an unwanted second girl, she was sent to live with an aunt at 9, competing with 14 cousins for survival, sometimes eating dirt mixed with water to feel full. Learning English at a mission school became her salvation. She raised Trevor without accepting limitations. Despite modest means, she expanded his world through drives in wealthy neighborhoods, visits to ice rinks, and drive-in movies. She even taught him to drive at 6, letting him steer while she worked the pedals. "She prepared me for freedom long before apartheid ended," Trevor reflects, showing me that even if I never left the ghetto, I would know the ghetto wasn't the world. Her parenting balanced playful tricks with loving discipline. She named him Trevor, a name without meaning or precedent, wanting him unburdened by fate. Her motto remained, "It's you and me against the world." When Trevor was 9, Patricia married Abel Shindange, a mechanic whose English name meant good brother, but whose Tsonga name, Ngisavani, meant be afraid. Initially charming, Abel turned violent after marriage, particularly after switching from marijuana to alcohol. He wanted a traditional, subservient wife, but as Patricia noted, "The traditional man wants a woman to be subservient, but he never falls in love with subservient women. He's like an exotic bird collector. He only wants a woman who is free because his dream is to put her in a cage." The violence began when Abel, drunk, nearly burned down the kitchen and beat Patricia when confronted. Police dismissed it as a family matter. Trevor lived like a mouse in our house after Abel struck him once, avoiding any room Abel occupied. The situation worsened when Abel bought a gun, obsessing about earning respect. Trevor moved out after his mother warned, "Every time he looks at you, he sees your father." Years later, Abel shot Patricia in the head, the bullet miraculously exiting through her nostril. Despite this attempted murder, he received only probation. When Trevor paid his mother's hospital bill, she simply smiled. Oh, but I do have insurance. Jesus. After high school, Trevor moved to Alexandra Township, nicknamed Gomorrah. The area had survived apartheid because some black residents owned plots before such ownership became illegal. Post-apartheid, it housed 200,000 people in just a few square kilometers. With his friend Bongani, Trevor sold pirated CDs from a garage, playing music to attract minibus drivers and passersby. Their business evolved into hustling, offering credit with interest and brokering various deals, multiplying small amounts through transaction chains. In Alexandra, the line between civilian and criminal blurred. Unlike suburban moral clarity, township gangsters were neighbors who filled government's void by offering support and opportunities. The hood was paradoxical, a tight-knit community that shared resources and provided security, yet this comfort could become a trap, simultaneously offering a safety net and imposing limitations. Trevor's adolescence was marked by social challenges, severe acne, an unruly afro, and oversized clothes from his budget-conscious mother. Despite his height, his gangly frame and duck feet fueled his self-consciousness. A Valentine's Day rejection taught him that cool guys get girls, while funny guys just get to hang out with cool guys and their girls, leading him to embrace his role as the tuck shop clown. His friendship with Sahira, who looked like Salma Hayek, became his sole meaningful connection. Despite their long conversations, his insecurity prevented him from pursuing romance. He planned for 3 years to invite her to their matrix dance, only to learn after she left school that she had been waiting for him to make a move, a painful lesson about the cost of hesitation. Trevor's memoir highlights how his mother's unconventional parenting shaped him. Despite growing up amid violence and racial oppression, his mother exposed him to different possibilities through books and education, teaching him that relationships are built on love, not fear. Love is a creative act, Trevor reflects. When you love someone, you create a new world for them. Patricia embodied this by creating possibilities where society saw limitations. When asked why she had a mixed-race child during apartheid, she simply stated, "Because I wanted a child, that's all." This straightforward approach to life's complexities became Trevor's inheritance. From his mother, he learned to question authority, find loopholes in oppressive systems, and use humor against injustice. His journey to international comedy stardom was built on the foundation she laid: education, resilience, and adaptability. Through multiple languages and broader exposure, Patricia gave Trevor the tools to transcend apartheid's limitations. Trevor's story demonstrates the power of refusing categorization and embracing all parts of oneself, even those society deems contradictory.